All right, let's build a jungle effects chain that actually behaves like part of the arrangement, not just some extra ear candy slapped on top. In drum and bass, especially in jungle-influenced writing, effects are not decoration, they're punctuation. They tell the listener when a phrase is turning, when the drop is coming, when the groove is about to breathe, and when the track is about to hit harder. At 174 BPM, that stuff matters a lot. If your transition effects are weak, the tune feels flat. If they're too big, they muddy the kick, snare, and sub. So the goal here is controlled chaos. We're going to design a reusable jungle-style FX chain in Ableton Live 12 using stock devices. And the key idea is this: build it like a scene, not like a random riser. You want foreground motion, mid-round movement, and background glue. If every layer is loud and busy, the transition turns to fog. If only one layer exists, it just sounds generic. The sweet spot is when the listener feels the motion before they consciously identify the effect. Start with the source material. You want three elements feeding the transition: a chopped break, a noise layer or vinyl-style texture, and a short stab or chord hit. For the break, keep the rhythm detailed but not overcrowded. Ghost notes, snare tails, little gaps between hits. That's the good stuff. If you're using audio, slice the break into MIDI and reprogram the best fragments. If you're using live drums, keep the kick and snare core clean and let the tiny details do the movement. For the stab, think short and functional. In D and B, a one or two note minor voicing often works better than a full harmony because it reads faster in the mix. It doesn't need to dominate. It just needs to imply a key center and give the transition something musical to lock onto. Now, instead of processing these elements all over the place, group them. Make a dedicated FX scene group or a return if you want shared send behavior, but for composition work, a group is usually the better move because it lets you automate the whole scene as one unit. That's where the arrangement language starts to come together. On that FX group, begin with EQ8. High pass the low end somewhere, around 120 to 180 Hz if this layer isn't meant to carry sub. That's important. Jungle effects should never fight the bass line for real estate. Then pull down some of the boxy low mids, maybe around 250 to 450 Hz, if the buildup starts to feel cloudy. After that, add a saturator with just enough drive to add harmonics and attitude. Keep soft clip on, and trim the output so the group stays under control. Then put on an auto filter and map the cutoff to a macro. This is going to be one of your main phrase shaping tools. In DNB, small filter moves can create huge emotional shifts. You do not always need giant sweeps. Sometimes moving a cutoff from 800 Hz down to 500 Hz is enough to make the whole section feel more tense and more dangerous. Now let's resample the motion. Create a new audio track, route the FX group into it, and record 4 to 8 bars of the chopped break, the stab, and the noise moving together. This is where the chain starts to feel like a living performance instead of a static rack. Once you've recorded it, warp it, cut it up, and keep the best moments: a snare tail, a reverse feeling transient, a ghost note cluster, a chopped fill ending in silence. That resampled layer can then be processed with devices like beat repeat, grain delay, or even a little redux if you want some rough digital edge. Beat repeat is great when you want the FX to stutter and chatter in rhythm with the drums. Grain delay gives you that smear jungle haze, like the break is dissolving into atmosphere. But keep all of this subtle. In this genre, a little goes a long way. You want a memory of the break, not a brand new drum part stapled onto the arrangement. Next comes color. This is where you give the chain some grime, but the key is control dirt, not blanket distortion. Try drum bus first if the source is break-derived. A bit of drive, a little crunch if needed, and careful damp control can make the chop textures hit harder without turning harsh. Then add saturator for harmonics, and if you want a more focused mid-range bite, use overdrive or dynamic tube. The trick is to clean up after the distortion with EQ8, not before. Net the distortion, create character, then remove anything that starts to clutter the mix. If you're working with a stab or a synth wash, use auto filter before the distortion so the movement feels expressive, and then clean it up after. That order matters. It keeps the transition animated while avoiding a buildup of ugly high frequencies. Now we make the chain move. Put in auto filter, echo, maybe a subtle chorus ensemble or phaser flanger if you want extra shimmer, and a utility for width control. The delay should feel dubby, not washed out. Try sync values like 1/8, 3/16, or dotted eighth for that syncopated jungle bounce. Keep the feedback reasonable, maybe 15 to 35%, and filter the low end out of the delay so it doesn't interfere with the sub. That's a big one. The tail should support the groove, not smear it. And this is where arrangement thinking comes in. Don't just automate the FX because it sounds cool. Automate it because the phrase needs it. Think in 2-bar and 4-bar blocks. For example, bar 1 might be a break, chop, and filtered stab. Bar 2 could leave space or give a tiny ghost fill. Bar 3 opens into a rise or delay throw. Bar 4 gives you the impact or the drop cue. That call and response logic is huge in drum and bass, because the music moves so fast that the ear needs clear landmarks. A really strong move is to design the tail before the attack. Seriously, in jungle and DNB, the end of the phrase often matters more than the beginning. If the last beat or last half bar creates proper anticipation, the earlier material can be much simpler. That's why a short reverse hit, a snare tail, or a sudden narrowing of the stereo field can hit harder than an overblown riser. Now map the main controls into macros. If you build this inside an audio effect rack, assign things like filter cutoff, saturation drive, delay feedback, width, noise amount, and impact gain to separate macro knobs. Then automate those macros across full phrases instead of tweaking every plugin manually. That makes the whole FX scene feel like one performance, which is exactly what you want. It also keeps the arrangement cohesive, because the listener hears one identity evolving, not 6 unrelated effects fighting each other. A good advanced trick is to use dual mode automation. Let one movement happen slowly over 8 bars, then add a very fast last half bar move right before the drop. So the filter might open gradually for most of the phrase, then snap narrower and the feedback might jump briefly in the last 2 beats. That contrast gives the drop much more force than one smooth ramp ever could. Also, don't be afraid to make the FX react to drum density. In busier sections, keep the transition layer cleaner and thinner. In emptier sections, let the dirtier, more resonant version come forward. That makes the track feel responsive instead of pre-rendered. The arrangement starts to breathe. For the final impact, keep it sharp. A short reverb bloom, a reversed audio lead-in, and a solid one-shot or resampled hit can do the job beautifully. You do not need a massive wash. In fact, in heavier DNB, a short, clipped snare tail with a reverse layer often sounds harder than a giant reverb cloud. High-pass the reverb return if necessary, keep the pre-delay tight, and make sure the impact lands instead of floating away. Then clean the exit. Sometimes the hardest drop feels bigger if you cut the FX tail one beat early. Sometimes a tiny delay throw on the final snare is enough. The point is to leave space for the drop to arrive with force. If the transition is doing too much, simplify it. Negative space is a weapon in DNB. A few things to watch out for. First, don't let the FX layer carry low end. Keep it high passed and centered where needed. Second, avoid over-distorting the whole transition. Use grit in moments, not everywhere. Third, don't let delay and reverb blur the groove. Filter the returns and shorten the tails. Fourth, always align the movement to the snare and the phrase structure. If the FX ignore the drums, the whole thing feels disconnected. And fifth, resist the urge to make every bar equally intense. DNB needs contrast. That's what makes the drop feel like a drop. If you want to push this further, try building 3 versions of the same transition from the same sources. Make one stealthy, one savage, and one DJ friendly. Same break, same stab, same noise layer, but different saturation, different filter movement, different tail lengths. That's how you start turning a single rack into a flexible arrangement tool instead of just one preset. So here's the big takeaway. Think of jungle FX as arrangement tools. Build the chain with filter, saturation, delay, and controlled dirt. Keep the sub and punch separate. Automate in phrases, not random moments. Use resampling to turn edits into new textures. And always ask the key question. Does this FX chain push the drop forward without stealing its impact? That's the whole game right there. Make the transition feel intentional, make the groove stay clear, and let the FX support the narrative of the track. In DNB, that's how you get tension, release, and real momentum.